Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Trouble with a Snap podcast. I'm your host, Jay File. Excited about this show. New name, same attitude. Tyler Hayward will be my co-host on the show. We've done a lot of podcasting. Excited about it. The name is just so fitting. We've done this for about 4 or 5 years, technically. And I want to break down a couple things before I get Tyler on the show in our preview. And it's just exciting, man. College football is here. It's an exciting time. And I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to the new name. I just think 2015, Jim Harbaugh comes on board. You know, you get this sense of a revitalized Michigan football program. You know, they're really turning it around right away. Sparty comes into town, big game. You know, we could go on and on about that game. The trouble with the snap of the punt. Michigan's up 23-21 at the time. There's 10 seconds left. They fumble the snap, trouble with the snap, however you want to describe it. And the rest is history. Michigan State recovers the fumbled punt, takes it all away, and this rivalry took a new step for me. I mean, I think I've been watching Michigan State and Michigan football from what I could remember. The first game I remember watching was the trip in the end zone with Desmond Howard. A funny story about that, I actually have a friend that I work with whose brother played for Bo, and he actually met the corner who was defending Desmond Howard. I don't know this gentleman's name, but he said, you know, I definitely tripped Desmond. They didn't call it, so hey, we get the win. 1990, just so many memories. That was my first memory as a Michigan football fan, the young kid. And you just never forget those games. There's so many games we could talk about between Michigan and Michigan State that make this rivalry amazing. I mean, it's truly amazing. I think that what we've gotten from this rivalry, especially when you live in the state, you're from the state, I would argue that I think it's the most important rivalry. I think it's the biggest game of the year for Michigan. I know Michigan always wants to talk about Ohio State. I get that. I understand it. I mean, I don't minimize that game. You know, Ohio State's dominated that game. That's not the reason why I don't think it's the number one rivalry. I just think that Michigan State caught up. It's your in-state rival. You battle with recruiting against that school. And Michigan State dominated the state in recruiting for a while there. I really felt like they did. In the Rich Rod era, Brady Hoke was somewhat catching up. But this rivalry has been amazing. It's been heightened with Jim Harbaugh. And there's a sense of importance in Ann Arbor. You can sense it. The way they talked after the game, they said, you know what, we're not holding back. We don't like these guys. We're better than you. There was a lot of things that were said. And there's going to be a lot of things that are said this year. This is going to be a fun season. I can't wait to get started. When Tyler joins me, we're going to really break down a couple things that are a little different today. We're going to go over the too high, too low. Is Michigan ranked too high at 7? Not sure. We're going to talk a lot about that and why maybe they are too high or maybe they're even too low. Maybe they are for real. We don't know. Michigan State, are they too low? A lot of people are high on Michigan State this year. Michigan State had a very bad season last year. I have no problem saying it. They were poor. You know, they had a lot of injuries, decimated by injuries, no question. But it's part of the game, right? And it stinks to say, but it's part of the game. And they still had a very average football season. So I'm going to break down a few things why I think they're too high. I think that Michigan State coming into the season, you know, has to prove itself. And I think that 18 is too high for them. So I will mention there are a couple of reasons why I feel that way. And I know Tyler will have his opinion on that as well. And I'm sure that we will have some fun disagreements today. I want to talk about a couple things with the show. We started, Tyler could probably help me, but I believe 2013 really started getting into this podcast stuff. Obviously, we're still learning. There's a lot of different things we use. We have a Facebook page. Please follow it, Trouble with the Snap. We really bring a lot of insight in. We're really locked and loaded with this whole Michigan State athletics. You know, we have a lot of knowledge with it. We've had a lot of connection over the years. We've changed names a few times. Tyler was with iSportsWeb, so the Red Cedar Report was something he was doing. We had The Last Word, you know, and then we had recently Rivalry Radio. Rivalry Radio was actually, there was someone else kind of using it, not very frequently, but we just felt like, you know, let's rebrand, rename, let's kind of get into our own role here. And I just thought Trouble with the Snap was perfect, and Tyler did as well. That game meant a lot to a lot of people, and it's fitting. Trouble with the Snap is, it's just Michigan. You know, it's Michigan State. I mean, it's never perfect. I thought that's the other reason. You know, you'll learn a lot with these podcasts. You got a lot of so-called experts. Well, I can tell you right now, nobody's an expert. And we're always going to have trouble trying to figure out who's going to win, who's not going to win. We're always going to have fun arguments. And the show will continue to be a lot of fun. But Trouble with the Snap made this rivalry what it is in 2015 game. So this name is perfect. So we're excited. This is episode 46 that we've done on Blog Talk Radio. We're thrilled to continue to do it. And I feel like we've got many more years to come with this podcast. And I'm sure we'll change different audios. We'll do a lot of different things. We'll try to get on live. We're posting a lot on our page. Tyler's with me, obviously. Tyler, you know, we're talking about the name change, you know, and I think you could enlighten me. I feel like 2014 or 13 was the first time we started doing that, right? Started doing podcasting then?
Yeah, it was right around that time. It was right around the time, like, ironically, that I got out of radio. So it's, but, you know, doing that type of stuff has always been of interest to me. And so, yeah, I think it was right around that time. And, you know, we were running it for a little while, covering specifically Michigan State, but it's nice to branch out, get a wider base and all those things. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we, you know, before you came on, I just mentioned, you know, how we've, you know, the title, obviously, new name, same attitude. I mean, we've been ingrained in this Michigan State stuff for pretty much our whole lives. I mean, you know, I had mentioned earlier that my first game I remembered watching with Michigan versus Michigan State was the Desmond Howard end zone tripping thing. And I mentioned, Tyler, it's funny, a guy I work with whose brother played for Bo, they met the corner. You might know the corner's name who was covering Desmond in the end zone. He said, and I quote, I did trip him, but they didn't call it, so whatever, we win.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's kind of the attitude that you've got to take into something like this. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll say there was contact. I mean, I don't know if he, like, swung at his foot, but no, in all seriousness, though, that's kind of the attitude that you take on in a game like this. Now, there are certain contests where maybe you don't necessarily feel that way, but, you know, for a rivalry of this magnitude, obviously you can tell by the name of the new name of our podcast that, you know, we're going to pick up into it and maybe get even a little more into it than we have before. And I mean, that's the attitude that you got to have. It almost seems like when you just talk about these teams. So, you know, I think the gloves may start sliding off a little bit more, but I'm all for it.
No, I think one thing that people need to understand when Michigan and Michigan State, there's been a lot of cycles of different types of rivalry between these two schools. I mean, you had your moment, obviously. We don't need to get too far into this. We all know. I mean, most of us should. But to the outsiders who don't get Michigan State and Michigan as a rivalry, Michigan State was a struggle at some time in the when we were younger. But before that, I mean, there was some big-time years, you know, for Michigan State football when you go way, way back. I mean, Michigan seems to be the history is so much talked about. But Michigan State had some really, really good years under Duffy Doherty. And, you know, they had some downtime there where there was some struggle where Bo kind of took over. And then Bo left, and when Bo left, it was just up and down. I mean, you didn't know who was going to win. Even when Michigan was great, there was just a lot of crazy games. I mean, we won't get into that in depth today, but I'm sure one of our shows will have a history show where we can really break down past games. But I just think
I think the week of November 16th seems like a good time to really dive into it.
Right. We will definitely talk more about the most important stuff this season. But I will say, I want to end on this. 2015 was the reshaping of this rivalry. That was it's a new wave now. This game is the most important game. I'm a Michigan fan and can say that. But I'm excited about 2019. Let's talk about it, Tyler. You started the too high, too low thing. I thought it was great. I think it was interesting, too, because there's a lot of different angles with it. Talk about that. Let's go Michigan first. You had mentioned too high. Let's dive into that first.
Well, I mean, I think that we've talked about the quarterback issues, which is something that, I didn't really have much of an opportunity to dive into during my quick little spiel about why I thought it was too high. It's not really a terrible issue to have either. You look at it, you have two very, very capable quarterbacks, maybe a third one, who can help Michigan achieve all of the goals that, they're putting in front of themselves. So I think that may be something that plays a little bit of a factor. I don't know if it's going to cost them any games, or it may cost them one or two. So I think that's something that may play into it, the switching of the quarterbacks. Your defense, well, like I said, you have guys along the line who can replace a Chase Winovich, and you can replace a Rashawn Gary. I said there are some hidden gems there. I feel like some of the leadership qualities that Winovich brought to the table, I feel losing that, and then you turn around and you lose Devin Bush in the next level, and then you lose Long in the level after that. And I feel as far as leadership goes, that those are three huge losses that are really hard to bounce back from. And, obviously as far as skill goes, Winovich is going to be a little tougher to replace. Gary, I feel like they'll actually replace him just fine. But Devin Bush is going to be near impossible. And so I feel like the step that, while the offense should ultimately improve, I feel like switching of the quarterbacks may make things a little more interesting than it needs to be. I feel that, which is something that Harbaugh mentioned he wants to do. You want to get your backup time. I don't feel like it's always the best case to do it, late in the game if you're going to play with a hot hand. But I feel like how the offense should step up with their new system and how the defense is going to step back, I'm going to call it, I feel like that's a wash. And Michigan finished 14th last year. So to see them in the top seven, it's a little too high. They're still a top 15 caliber team. They may even crack the top 10. Obviously, a lot of it depends upon, their games with Ohio State and Michigan State. But I feel like it's a little too high. If you even put them at 11, I might say it fell in that just right area. But right now, to put them in the top 10, I think you need to see how the defense responds first to losing that leadership.
Yeah, I think it's I think they're right where they belong, because I just don't think there's anybody that much better. I mean, I think when you look at the top few teams, there's nobody that we should be comparing them to. I mean, when you look at Clemson, Bama, we know that. We know how good they are. We know how loaded they are, how talented they are. We know how the schedule even favors them a little bit. So we know how that ties into
playing
it.
In the
so ranking
ACC
them where they are is out. And I think Oklahoma, I think Oklahoma is going to be great this year. I think Jalen Hurts is going to have an unbelievable season. And we've had some people mention that on our page. I just think it's so hit or miss with the other teams. I mean, I think they're fine. Michigan's talented enough to be there. I mean, if you put them at 8, 9, 10, 11, I don't think it matters. If you put them at 13, I don't think it matters. I mean, I think that they're going to work their way through. If they win, they're going to go right up to where we should think they should be. I think the same would go for Michigan State. If Michigan State's undefeated at one point, or they only have one loss, they're probably going to be possibly in the top 10 hovering around it. So I don't think they're ranked too high. I wouldn't put them higher than 7. I think it's perfect. I think you don't put them – I think Ohio State deserves to be higher. Obviously, they beat them last year. They won the Big Ten. I think it's perfect. I think where Michigan is they got enough talent to be that good. They should be ranked that high. They got a starting quarterback who was phenomenal last year. As going to your quarterback comment, I don't think they're going to play McCaffrey that much. They're just going to play him in spots. I don't think they're going to, hey, this possession's yours, McCaffrey. That's not what they're going to do. What they're going to do is they're going to have certain design plays where they want McCaffrey to be out there, and they might have Shea out there as well, just to kind of throw teams off. They're not going to play both of them unless Shea just doesn't play well. So I know that's what's going to happen. I know for a fact I watched a couple of things in spring that kind of was an idea of that. I've seen how they put them both on the field a few times just to kind of throw people off. And some inside information I have with talking to a few people very connected, they said Shea's the guy. I mean, it's not even going to be a conversation unless he plays that.
Well, and if that's the case, then by all means, go ahead and put him at I feel at that point, maybe you can put him I think you can put him like right at 10. I feel ultimately, like I said, the defensive step back is going to be a little bit too much still. You said they have the talent too, and they definitely do, but I mean, there's a difference between having the talent and having the leadership. And I mean, you kind of saw that in, Michigan State's 3-9 season. You know, there was some talent on that team. I mean, a lot of these guys hung around for that year that are part of this incredible defense right now, or what should be a much improved offense. And so, I mean, I'm not saying Michigan's going to go 3-9. Don't get me wrong there. That's not going to happen. But I feel like there could be a little bit of a step back. But Pederson, in my mind, well, in anybody's mind, you should have him as a top three quarterback in the conference. Now, if you want to put Adrian Martinez up there, fine. If you want to put Nate Stanley from Iowa up there, fine. If you want to say Brian Lewerke's going to be healthy, I would even take that. But I think that Pederson is, without question, a top three quarterback in this conference.
I think it's an interesting with the Martinez thing because, like, what's he proven? I mean, it's like, okay, I know he's a great talent. He's really good. But, you know, if we really want to have a conversation on why are we ranking people so high when they haven't proven anything, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to have a whole long conversation because Martinez hasn't won enough. He hasn't done anything great yet. Pederson is probably, if you really look at all the quarterbacks right now, I would argue that he is the most efficient quarterback coming back this year. You know, with the amount of touchdowns. You know, he's right there at the top. I mean, we don't know how good Justin Fields is going to be. We don't know what Brian Lewerke is going to do. Brian Lewerke was bad last year. He was banged up. So when you look at if we're really going to look back to last year to look at rankings, Michigan should be 7 because Pederson was great. They return all their offensive weapons except Higdon, and I think that will be – I think losing Higdon is going to be their
biggest
issue.
That's
going to
be a big loss, yeah.
I think I think defense, they give up a few more points. But I think Caron Higdon was big last year. And I don't think enough people are talking about that part. But I still think that they belong at 7. Let's jump to State, though. I mean, I know that you're going to have strong feelings about Michigan State, and so am I, which we should. You know, it's a rivalry. Talk about that. You know, 18, you know, solid number. What was your initial thought on that?
I thought it was just right because, like you said, their ability to climb up is there, which with, you know, what should be a top three defense nationally. I won't even say top five. That should be a top three defense nationally. A lot of it depends on how the safeties play out between Xavier Henderson, you know, losing it. I'm gonna mention somebody who you weren't always the biggest fan of. But losing a leader like Kari Willis, even though he was a little bit slower, I mean, I think he was – sneaky fast, and he also had incredible closing speed. You know, a lot of guys have that extra gear when that ball's in the air. I feel like he had two or three of them. And I mean, he's been making a lot of noise down here in Indiana, and I feel like losing that type of a guy is I think that's gonna hurt. David Dowell, I feel, has been a little overrated. So if Dowell can, you know, reach that level that everyone's been expecting him to for the last couple seasons, you look at some of the comments made by the defensive staff at Michigan State, Henderson can do a couple things better than Kari Willis could. And so I'm not going to say he's at that level yet. I mean, he's only a true sophomore. But if they can make those adjustments, I feel that that defense can be top three and then nation, might even end up being number one. As far as the offense goes, look, you're not going to play 8 different starting lineups in your first 9 games. On the offensive line, you have 3 legitimate receivers and a couple other guys who just, I mean, they fell victim to the injury bug last year. You know, Daryl Stewart, he should break out with the new offense, which I also feel is going to help Lewerke. Like I said, you got a sure offensive line. On top of that, if you do lose one or two guys due to injury, you still have experienced guys who played a ton last year, and, you know, some of them, like Blake Buter, looked really good. And then you have a couple freshmen that are just, you know, rocking people's worlds in camp, and Devontae Dobbs, Nick Samek. So you've got those guys who can all make plays, and I feel like it. 18 is right because it gives them room to drop out if the offense doesn't, you know, reach that next level, you know, with the new scheme and with a healthy Brian Lewerke. And at the same time, if it does work out, if everything does pan out, you know, that 18 spot, you can jump up into the playoff hunt, you know, with a couple big wins, which, you know, Michigan State's going to have an opportunity to get kind of early this season. So I feel like it was, you know, a perfect location for them.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm looking at the list right now, I mean, when you look at the top 10, I think there's a lot of interchangeable parts. I mean, you look at Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, top 4. I don't think there's a huge argument there. I mean, I think as far as talent and what they have there with their star players, with quarterback at each school, you know, they're all very, very good. Then you go Ohio State 5, LSU 6. You know, LSU is one of those teams where, you know, they could flip out real quick. They could lose a game. You know, I'm high on them, but I don't know how good they really are. Same for Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State lost a couple pieces as well, but, you know, they're still loaded with talent. Then you go Michigan, Florida, Notre Dame, Texas. You look at those 4 teams I just named, any one of those teams could slip right out of the top 10. But when you look at after that, the next 4, Oregon, Texas A&M, Washington, Utah, I mean, is Michigan State as good or better than any of those teams? On any given day, sure. I mean, yeah, and then you got Penn State, Auburn, UCF before you have Michigan State. Michigan State, I named about 10 teams there that they could beat, maybe more. They could maybe beat, you know, 12 of those teams I listed. That's how close it is when you think of rankings. I mean, when I look at Michigan State at 18 and then I look at Iowa at 20, I go, either one of them could be 18. I mean, you know, you don't know. You just don't know. So I think that as much as I thought I was going to say today, I thought Michigan State was too high. Like, honestly, you know, I think it's fine. I think you're right. I think it's perfect. It's one of those deals that, yeah, 18, move up if they win, move out if they lose. It makes sense.
Yeah, especially given the circumstances surrounding the uncertainty of the offense, you know, but, you know, Daryl Stewart's healthy, and Brian Lewerke's healthy, the offensive line healthy, for the most part. I believe there's one small lingering issue, but it shouldn't ultimately make that big of a deal. Colt Hewins was a projected starter, but, you know, like I said, you have interchangeable parts now because so many guys have quality experience, not just experience, it's quality experience. And, like, they played well for the most part. It was when you started getting a little deeper into the depth chart last year on the offensive line is where things got a little shaky. And ultimately, one of their little experiments, moving Tyler Higbee over to center, was a complete failure. And I honestly feel like, among other things, you know, Lewerke got hurt during the Arizona State game, and Matt Dotson dropped a potential touchdown pass. You know, Justin Lane was going against N'Keal Harry, who was one of the best receivers in the country. I honestly believe, among all of those things that kind of impacted the final score at the end of the game, I feel Tyler Higbee, if he was playing guard instead of center, Michigan State wins that game. Because it was a disaster. And so you have the quality experience. You've got a lot of guys who can ultimately give you starter, like, minutes, starter reps. And so, yeah, it gives them that 18 spot, it just gives them an opportunity to where 11-1, maybe 10-2, let's say they lose to Arizona State and then lose to LSU, but somehow sneak into the Big Ten championship. Like 10-2 and the Big Ten championship may still slide them into that playoff spot, depending on how that fourth playoff spot, depending on how things fall, if they make the Big Ten championship and win. So I think it's a perfect spot because if this offense is above average, like this is a team that should make the college football playoff.
I think that people are not realizing, you know, when you look at expectations and you look at, you know, previews, predictions, you got to be real careful because you have to look at the full landscape. The full landscape says that as good as Michigan State's defense was last year, they gave up a lot of big plays, you know, and they still had a lot of moments where they got beat by certain teams. And I blame the offense for a lot of that, Tyler, because I think the offense was so atrocious. The defense was gassed all the time. But
yeah,
you can't not look at
that
and say
– but and this is going to –
you can't not look at that, though.
I'm going to put it all on one player. And I'm going to put it all on – like I said, David Dowell, he was a little shaky. And, you know, sometimes safeties are going to give up big plays. That type of thing happens. But I'm putting this all on Trey Person. Trey Person was a fifth-string cornerback. I'm sorry?
He's one of your corners still. So that's my point. Like, you know, you bring back guys.
They didn't move. They moved him actually from corner because of his play last year. They're giving him a 10-yard head start. He is a backup safety now. And I think he's the fourth safety. He moved from sixth corner to fourth safety. And Trey Person was the one who was giving up jump balls to Northwestern receivers. And I'm sorry, if you're playing Division I football, I don't care. You should not give up jump balls to Northwestern receivers. You go to that Michigan game, that's who Donovan Peoples-Jones was beating. This year, he's going against Josiah Scott. He's going against Josh Butler, who was also hurt last year. He's going against guys who are meant to be starters at this level. And that's something that Trey Person, frankly, wasn't last year. Now, can he get there? Yeah, he's still a young kid, and it sucks that you got to put that much pressure on him. But a lot of the big plays came at the hands of number 24 on defense. And he will not be as significant of a player this season. He will be behind Dominique Long as far as safeties go. Obviously, he'll be behind Henderson and David Dowell. And Michigan State's got a lot of youth as far as their defensive backs go. I wouldn't be surprised to see someone else jump up.
I think Michigan State, there's two problems I have with them for me to not think they can win the Big Ten. The number one problem is not enough offensive production. And when I look at their numbers, and, you know, their leading rusher is back. You know, Connor Hayward, you know, he rushed for 500-some yards last year.
And he won't even start by the end of the year.
And, you know, but that's your guy. That's your production as running back. So, you know, you can say whatever you want about this guy's going to be great, this guy's going to be awesome. We have no idea. So the guy that's proven it is Connor Hayward at running back. You know, 529 yards last year, that's your production. Is he a great running back? No, but he's your most productive one. You look at the receivers, the most productive receivers coming back obviously are Darryl Stewart and Cody White. We know White was banged up a little bit. Stewart was as well. But those guys had 500 yards of receiving. That's your most productive offensive players coming back. You have an offensive line that was atrocious. You have Lewerke, who threw more interceptions than touchdowns. So I argue if we're going to look at the year before and then we think of rankings and what we expect, I think the people are a little high on Michigan State considering. Now, if they come out the first four games, and they win all games, they go to Northwestern and win, then we can have a new discussion, say, this offense finally improved. They're better. But I just think, Tyler, the defense, as good as it is, the offense is not good enough to beat Ohio State. It's not good enough to beat even a tough road game, maybe on Wisconsin. They're going to have to play really, really well. And so
They're going to have to outscore a talented Penn State team. They're going to have to outscore Michigan on the road. I don't think they're good enough to do that. I think they're good enough to go 9-3. They're good enough to even maybe win 10 games and lose to Ohio State, Michigan, you know, or Ohio State in a slip-up, you know, but they're just not good enough to win the conference because of the offense. People always say, well, this is so similar to 2015. It's not even close. Connor Hayward or Connor Cook was amazing. Burbridge was unbelievable. You had a lot of offensive weapons there. You had, you know, an L.J. Scott who was a stud at the time. He was better then than he was last year. They had a better offensive line. They had still a really good defense. There's just no comparison. This is a very good football team at Michigan State. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, they can win 9 or 10 games. But they're just not good enough to win the Big Ten, in my opinion.
Well, let me rephrase redirect some of your stuff. You want to compare it to 2015. If you look at 2017, they won 10 games with Brian Lewerke.
Sure.
All right.
Last
year you said you mentioned something about you don't know if they're good enough to beat Penn State. Well, they beat Penn State with an injured Lewerke. Brandon Sowards was their number one receiver going down the stretch on and off again, depending on Felton Davis limping off the field. Larice Nelson was their number two receiver, who is now the number six receiver ultimately. The offensive line, like I said, eight different starting groups last year in their first nine games. That's not going to happen again. And if it does, I'm going to say this.
No.
The guy who has a little spot in the Hall of Fame, Ken Manning, needs to be fired if it happens again. Daryl Stewart, the way the offense is going to look, I think it's built a lot more for him than the pro set that Michigan State was even running last season. Built more so for him than it was 2 years ago. Cody White was just too banged up. He had a busted hand, I think, from the Arizona State game is when that happened. And he's, as a freshman, was just absolutely fantastic. He was phenomenal. And I told you last year, Felton Davis was going to be the biggest receiver in terms of those big plays, those amazing catches, and those types of things. But I told you before Cody White got hurt that he was going to be Michigan State's best overall receiver. And unfortunately, he never had that opportunity for it to happen. And so,
well, it's like Tariq Black. It's Tariq Black. It's the same scenario that both players should be the
receiver. Except for we've actually seen Cody White a little bit show up on the football field. And so,
we have seen Tariq Black.
Those additions.
We've seen him play a lot.
I'm sorry?
His first game, he blew right by Florida in his first year. I mean, he's unbelievable, but he gets hurt. So we just don't know. Like, we don't know if Cody White's elite because he hasn't had the opportunity to show it. And Tariq Black in the spring game, I sat there and said, it's ridiculous. Tariq Black is by far the best
Cody
receiver
White
on
actually,
team.
But the difference is Cody White actually played a full season. And so we can look at him and be like, oh, wow. That's awesome. And then last year, you saw him for just a couple of games, and he looked amazing then too. And so he took a step up based upon what we saw from the previous season. In 2017, Michigan State won 10 games. In 2018, all of those guys get hurt, and you're essentially playing with a third-string walk-on guard playing center. You're running your a lot of times eighth and ninth receivers out onto the field with a backup quarterback or an injured starter who admittedly Brian Lewerke's not the greatest quarterback in the country, but his completion percentage dropped from 60 to 43 after the injury. And so there's all of these things that have, well, last year may not be the best thing. There's all of these little things, all of these little additions that have indicated how good the offense can be. Like I said, Michigan State won 10 games in 2017. Practically that entire team is back. Obviously, you know, guys like Justin Lane, David Beadle, some of those guys have moved on. But Kenny Willekes is the best defensive lineman in the Big Ten. Joe Bocci.
I disagree.
Joe Bocci, Chase Young, or AJ Esperanza. Those are your other two choices.
Yeah, I would put those two. You know, I would put Willekes at two behind Young. I think Young is – honestly, Willekes might be a better college football player than Chase Young. I just think Chase Young's a better player. You know, I think Chase Young will be in the NFL and be great.
And I'm going to liken that a little bit to the Shalit Calhoun, Joey Bosa situation. I feel like Shalit Calhoun
was a
better college player than Joey Bosa, even though he didn't get the accolades.
Yeah.
I feel it was a situation of where you went to school. And so you've
Rashawn Gary, I still think, will be a better NFL player than Kenny Willekes will be, but I think Kenny Willekes is a way better college football player.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I think he fits in the system. He listens. He wants to be there. He has pride. Rashawn Gary was 1 foot in, 1 foot out last year. So I think that Kenny Willekes is going to play his butt off for Michigan State, and he's going to be unbelievable this year. But far as ceiling, yeah, some couple guys that may be above him. I want to touch on one thing you said, though. I mean, you have a good point of the Tariq Black thing. I get what you're saying. I mean, you're probably a little more correct than me because we haven't seen it enough where Cody White, you know, he had 500 yards receiving. So there's a pretty much an advantage, per se, that if we're going to have a rivalry talk, Michigan versus Michigan State, those two players, Cody White's proven it more. As far as who do I think's better, I think if Tariq Black's healthy, he's better, but we don't know. At the receiver position, Michigan State needs a third guy, you know, and they got a lot of guys that could be that guy. They have a lot of guys that could be, but they got a lot of guys that haven't proven they are. And that's the same thing that Michigan's dealing with. Michigan's got two guys that have proven it, Donovan Peoples-Jones and Nico Collins. I think Nico Collins could be the best receiver in the league. He's amazing. He had a great year. And Michigan State found that out last year. He can go get it. Donovan Peoples-Jones blew right by Pearson. That was, those two plays were the difference. Two receivers making a play, one on by the end zone, Nico Collins just better. The other one, Peoples-Jones, just better against a terrible corner. And they need a third guy. They need Tariq Black to play really well. You look at Ohio State last year, they were such a tough cover because they had three, four guys that you had a hard time covering. Guess what? This year, Ohio State's got three guys that are going to be really hard to cover. Michigan State and Michigan need that. They need one guy, and I think that Ronnie Bell really could be that guy because I just, as much as I love Tariq Black, you made great points. We don't know. I mean, he's been prone to get injured. He hasn't proven it. Ronnie Bell actually has proven it. He has proven a couple big plays. He's been on the field a lot last year. And he's got to be that guy. You know, they talk about Sandra still so much, but he's a freshman. I mean, you know how freshman seasons go in college football. He's going to struggle.
Right.
He's going to have some struggling moments. Michigan needs a third guy. I think it could be Ronnie Bell, especially if Tariq Black isn't what we thought he was going to be. Michigan State, though, who's going to be that third guy? There's a lot of guys that could be that third guy. Who is it, though? Who's it going to be?
Without question, it's Jalen Naylor. Jalen Naylor, the fastest player on the team. He's as a freshman, he was Dave Warner's little gadget monkey. You know, all the trick plays, all the reverses, all the end arounds, the jet sweeps, all of that. The jet sweeps to the near side of the field, mind you. All of that. Jalen Naylor was usually the guy who was on the receiving end of those. And you know, people talk about how great Rocky Lombardi was. Oh, my God, first start record against Purdue as far as throwing yards go in school history. Well, 70 of those came on a near side jet sweep to Jalen Naylor. This kid is unbelievably fast. He's taken the necessary steps, I feel like, as a pure receiver goes. We saw him make receiving plays instead of, you know, that running back that lines up in the slot and just takes a jet sweep. We've seen him make receiving plays in the spring game. I think he's that guy. There's a lot of talk about Julian Barnett, a freshman who they're saying he may actually play his way into the rotation. How he's doing that with a good slot receiver and Larice Nelson, who's pretty quick and has pretty sure hands, and a guy like Cam Chambers, who received a ton of hype. I feel like those are a couple for Jalen Naylor to surpass them so easily, in my mind, he's got to be doing something right, and he did it halfway through last season. I mean, it became clear that Dalton Davis is gone. After this season, Jalen Naylor is going to be our number three behind Stewart and Cody White.
Yeah.
I mean, there is one wrinkle that may be thrown into this. You know, Michigan State's still trying to get that transfer waiver from the NCAA for Jaden Reed from Western Michigan, freshman All-American. If they end up pulling a horseshoe out of, you know, D'Antonio's hind parts and they can get him to play, you know, all of a sudden Jalen Naylor, who's a very good, you know, number three receiver on any team in the Big Ten, really. I'm not saying, you know, certain guys at Ohio State wouldn't beat him out, but if you plug him into Ohio State system as the number three guy, he looks fantastic. Or even at Michigan, he'd look fantastic as the number three guy. Not saying he would take anybody's spot, but he would play it well. And
no, that's how it works, the receiver. You know, the third guy is interchangeable.
Yeah, but if you get Jaden Reed, all of a sudden Jalen Naylor is number four, and you can do anything you want with your offense. It doesn't matter because can line up in your slot.
Let me intervene here. I want to end on that. I want to add this to the show. One thing that both teams, if they do, they'll win the Big Ten. I know it's early. We got a lot to talk about, but I want to say this about Michigan State now while we end the show. If Michigan State, if they really add to the passing game this year, if they say, you know what, we're going to run a little more with Brian, especially if he's healthy, and we're going to spread him out more and more and more. We're going to get speed and space, like what Michigan always talks about. With the amount of receivers they have who are talented, if they do that at a high level and Lewerke plays like he did 2 years ago and they don't get hurt, so there's a lot there to talk about, Michigan State could win the Big Ten. They need to really, really open it up this year. They don't have a good running back as far as a dominating back who can just, you know, they got their running back by committee like Michigan. Both schools are very similar on that end. True Wilson's still the most accomplished back or most experienced back. He's not a great back, but he's okay. Michigan and Michigan State both. This is what I'll say. If they both spread it out the way we think they can, especially Michigan State, because of that defense, they could win the Big Ten. I argue, though, will the offensive coordinators do it? They have to do it. I know that they keep saying they're spreading it out more, but they got to do it, and they got to do it consistently. And Mark D'Antonio even needs to be a little step back, say, you know what? I love possessing the football, but right now we are not that team. We are not that physical running football team anymore. We've got to – spread teams out, use Speedy Naylor. We got to use Larice Nelson sometimes. If you get that, you know, transfer waiver free, Reed's got to be a guy. We really get him the ball in space. We got to go deep with Stewart. We got to throw it up for Cody White. They got to do that, Tyler. If they do that, I mean, would you think that'd be the main difference?
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing is I'm going to throw one little curve in there is I think you can still control the clock that way too. I think you can supplement an RPO. You can supplement a running game with an RPO type quarterback. And I think Brian Lewerke is perfect for that. I think you're going to add a couple more of those to it. You've got the receivers to make the plays in space. You can throw it 5 yards, Darryl Stewart on a slant pass, take 40 seconds to snap the ball, but still line up in a spread offense. Like, I think it's gonna be a hurry up and wait type spread. I think you're gonna see some huddling. You're gonna see a lot more huddling than you do from, you know, 95% of the spread teams in college football. But you can still possess the clock and run that type of a system. You can still own the clock, you can still own the time of possession, and Brian Lewerke's shown he could do it 2 years ago. I don't see any reason why he can't do it in the offense that actually suits him better.
Well, let's own the clock now, Tyler. We got 30 seconds, so I'm going to own the clock here. You know, I hate to do it, but let's just do it because it's freaking exciting. College football's here. Prediction of records, Michigan, Michigan State, what is it?
Michigan State, I'm going to say 10-2, Michigan 9-3.
Good call. Good call. Hey, we're excited, man. Trouble with the Snap Podcast. Tyler, dude, I can't wait, man. 1 week and a half away. I know you'll be there in East Lansing next weekend. I don't even want to talk about me going to a game.
I have a baby on the way, so.
Oh, yes. Tyler might be a little busier this fall. Could be a little crazy. Join my world, pal. Join my world. But, yeah, man, excited. Excited for the season. Tyler Hayward joining me, of course, as always, on Trouble with the Snap podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back on later next week. This is Trouble with the Snap podcast, the new name, same attitude. Thanks for joining us. Yeah.